Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. The title of today's message is, Who is Jesus? Part 5. Today we continue the series that looks for answers to that question, Who is Jesus? We're asking the question because there have always been many human opinions about who Jesus is. And these different opinions can confuse us, and they can hinder us in our faith and in our following Jesus. So we're looking to the Bible for answers that we can trust. Let's quickly review what we've learned so far. In the first part of the series, we saw Jesus as the Word, the Creator who became human and revealed God to us. And we responded, My Lord and my God. Then we saw Jesus as the Lamb of God. And we responded by trusting him fully with our sin for forgiveness, reconciliation with God, and freedom from the penalty and the power of sin. Then we saw Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And we responded by embracing the security of his care, by seeking a closer relationship with him and committing to follow him. Then the last time we saw Jesus as our advocate, and we responded by trusting him completely for our victory over sin, our weaknesses, and our temptations. Today, we will see Jesus as the Living One. The title, The Living One, comes from Jesus' words to John as recorded in the book of Revelation. Let's read Revelation chapter 1 from verse 12, and I'll read all texts from the New Living Translation. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw 7 gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. When we saw Jesus as the Word, we caught a glimpse of the glory that he left behind when he took on humanity. When we saw Jesus as the Lamb, we saw his ultimate humiliation, brutally flogged and crucified. But praise God, the gospel accounts don't end with his death. They continue with his resurrection and then his ascension back to heaven. When John next saw Jesus, he saw Jesus, the Living One. John was so overwhelmed that he collapsed. The sight of Jesus as he is now was too much for his human mind and body to cope with. Jesus had taken back his glory. Now, when you and I think about Jesus, chances are we often think of him as the human who is described in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because Jesus the human enables you and I to gain a revelation of him, an understanding of him that our human minds and senses can cope with. The accounts of the human Jesus also enable us to visualize what he can do through you and I now as we make disciples in a challenging world. But it's really important that we remember that Jesus is no longer in that state. He is now glorified. When Jesus revealed himself to Saul, and you can read about this in Acts chapter 9, Saul was struck blind and he fell to the ground. Now, as we've read, when Jesus revealed himself to John, John suffered such a major collapse that he thought he must have been dead. Now, this is really important because our view of Jesus makes an enormous difference to how we think, how we pray, how we live. If you and I think of Jesus as a human, we may fall into the trap of thinking of him as a kind of big brother. We know he's the big guy and he's in charge, but we don't recognize just how exalted and how glorious he now is. So we can unconsciously think that we can argue with him and maybe even win the argument. We can think that we can get him to do things for us, to organize things for us so that they go our way. So when we pray, we find that we're often asking him to make things go well for us. We may find ourselves explaining why he should do what we ask, as if he ever needs anything explained to him. And when we feel challenged by his words as recorded in the New Testament, we may find ourselves arguing against them because they surely don't apply in our situation. But friends, if we think about Jesus as the living one, we will think very differently. He is exalted so far above us. This is no man who we can argue with or pressure for favors. This is not some man who we can give instructions to. This is someone who we take instructions from. Let me describe an imaginary situation that I hope will explain what I'm trying to communicate. Imagine for a moment you have been given an appointment with Jesus, a chance for a face-to-face meeting with him. What an opportunity. You're not going to miss this one. You make sure that you arrive early to make full use of the opportunity. And you've prepared for this meeting. You've got a long list of questions for him. For example, why is he doing this? Why is he not doing that? Why did he make that statement that people are finding so offensive? You've also prepared a long list of requests for him. There are people who need jobs, healing, provision. People who are doing wrong things that need to be stopped. You knock on the door. An angel opens it. He's so glorious that you can barely look at him. You're kind of overwhelmed, but you catch your breath. You manage to introduce yourself. He tells you to go into a room where Jesus will join you shortly. As you wait, you check your pocket for your list of questions and requests. You read through them, rehearsing them, not wanting to forget anything. Then a door opens and a blinding light shines through the doorway. Suddenly you realize that that blinding light isn't coming from the other room, it's coming from Jesus. You try to stand up, but you can only fall to the ground. You have never seen glory like this. Your lists have fallen to the ground with you. They seem kind of pointless now. I mean, who are you to question the living one? Who are you to tell the living one what to do? The only words that now seem appropriate, if you can get them out, in his glorious presence would be words of worship and of devotion. Actually, you don't want to speak anymore. Now, you're waiting and listening for the Living One to speak to you. Friends, I sincerely believe that if our view of Jesus is correct, then the way that we think, we pray, we live will be changed, even transformed. When we grasp something of his glory and his authority, we will be far less likely to doubt him. We will be far less likely to question his words. We will be far less likely to disobey him, because this is the Living One. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. God elevated him, that's Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is Jesus our King. He is now glorified. He is the Living One. I think the devil would love for us to have a small view of Jesus. I think he would love for us to see Jesus as the human who was rejected, opposed, flogged, and handed over to be crucified in order to get him out the way. This is why I believe that. Because if we have this small view of him, we could find courage to stand before a man like that. We could possibly argue with a man like that. We could possibly question a man like that. But when we're faced with the Living One, that kind of arrogance will vanish. It'll evaporate. A small view of Jesus will also weaken our faith and leave us feeling insecure. If we think that we're praying to some influential human, we may be hopeful, but we may also doubt. But when we see Jesus as the Living One, any doubts about his power will vanish. We will live with a new sense of security, knowing that we are in his mighty hand. So I pray that the Lord will open our hearts and our minds to grasp enough of his glory so that we will live lives that properly honor him, that obey him, and that trust him completely with everything. Now, knowing Jesus as the Living One also gives us the hope of eternal life after death. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 26. Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. After that, the end will come when he will turn the kingdom over to God the Father, having destroyed every ruler and authority and power. For Christ must reign until he humbles all his enemies beneath his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. powerful words. Jesus' resurrection means that death has been defeated. We don't have to be afraid of death any longer. Someone once put it this way: death is no longer our destination. It's now a doorway. Now, for many, death is a fearful thing. It represents the end, the final destination. It represents a darkness that seeks to envelop us and put out the light of life. But for those who belong to Jesus, the living one, death is a transition. Yes, it does mean the end of life on earth, but it leads on to eternal life with Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead after being crucified, he demonstrated his victory over death. He proved to us that it's not over when we die. Listen to Jesus' words recorded in John's Gospel, John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. The living one has gone before us through the doorway. He has blazed a trail of victory through the valley of death. The way is now open for all of us who believe in him. Let me summarize in closing. Jesus is the living one. He is the Word who became human and made God known to us. He is the Lamb who was slain for the sin of the world, who died and then rose from the dead. He then ascended to heaven to be gloriously exalted to the place of highest honor. He now rules from heaven in his spectacular, indescribable glory. When we recognize Jesus as the living one, we will worship him and honor him. We will obey him without questioning him. We will trust him completely with everything. We will also trust him with our eternal destiny, because he has proved his victory over death, and he assures us of eternal life with him once this earthly life is done. He is my Lord and my God. He is the way to eternal life. He is the living one.